This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned.
My name is Paul Emery. We have live on the line Aunt Tiffany, a grandmother. She's going to be talking about why she served a six-month sentence in a federal prison because of her opposition to the SOA, the School of the Americas. We're also going to be talking about an event that she is going to be appearing at on Saturday, October 16th, at the Nevada City United Methodist Church. The event is sponsored by the Conscious Collective and Nevada County Peace Action. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you, Paul.
The School of the Americas. Why don't we talk just a little bit? Let our listeners know, what is the School of the Americas? Why are you involved in this movement to close it down?
Well, the U.S. Army School of the Americas, located at Fort Benning, is essentially a combat training school for Latin American soldiers. It's been operating for 53 years and has really trained Latin American military in commando tactics, military intelligence, psychological operations, essentially what we call counterinsurgency. I began hearing about it back in the 80s when I traveled to Central America several times, to El Salvador, to Nicaragua, to Haiti. And the people there were very aware of this school. In fact, in Panama, it was known as the School of Assassins or the School of Coups. And essentially, the people spoke of wanting this school closed, saw it as a place where soldiers were trained, essentially, to make war on their own people. So I came back here to this country to see if I could learn something about the school, and discovered that in 1984, it had moved from Panama to Fort Benning, Georgia. And thanks to the work of Father Roy Bourgeois and other people who were involved in Central American solidarity work, gradually this school came out under that, what we called a shroud of secrecy, and we're doing our best to let U.S. citizens know that our tax dollars are being used to train military, the Spanish language, many with Spanish or Latino instructors, right here in our own country, paid for with our tax dollars. And the history of the graduates of this school is really horrendous.
So basically, this is paid for by the U.S. taxpayers, and it's used to support favorable governments that the United States has in Central and South America. So it's used to train them to control the opposition through military means. Is that a good way?
That's what we are certainly seeing. And, I mean, there's been a number of reports by human rights groups, the Guatemalan Human Rights Commission, the Salvadoran Truth Commission, done by the United Nations. I mean, made it very clear that the graduates of this school have been directly involved in some of the worst human rights abuses.
Why don't you give us some examples?
Well, El Salvador comes to mind because I've been closest to that country in terms of people that I know there. El Mazote, a very well-known small village in Morazan that in 1982... there was a massacre there. Over 900 villagers were killed, and the 10 out of the 12 officers involved in that massacre graduated from the School of the Americas, and in fact had just left the school a week before this massacre occurred. They also were involved in the assassination of the Jesuits in 1989. Officers from the School of the Americas directly involved in this massacre. And this has all been very well documented. So I think if U.S. citizens know how their tax dollars are being used, that they will join with us in trying to close this school.
The you're part of this movement to close down the school, so you've had many attempts at talking to the U.S. officials on this whole matter. What is their response when you present them with these details about how people from this school participated in these events? What do they say?
We certainly have done a lot of lobbying efforts. We've talked to the commander of the school. I think this school is very important to the Pentagon, to the U.S. military. It's part of our foreign policy to maintain stabilization in these countries for cheap labor, for resources. Initially, it was to prevent communism. They see the school as a success. They talk about the fact, oh, there's a few bad apples, and we're not responsible for what they do, or the graduates do, after they leave here. They also talk about reform. And I think we've seen in the 90s, now that this resistance movement has grown, that they have made some cursory reforms. They talk about human rights courses. They talk about the importance of this school in terms of teaching drug interdiction methods. However, as we look into it, there are not very few of the soldiers, military there, in fact, are taking these courses. I think that this school, that the Pentagon has a big stake in keeping this school operating. And from my point of view, that stake is in maintaining what might be called the old boy network, the militaries from Latin America, Central America, knowing each other, working together, that has proven very important in a number of instances, not the least of which was the overthrow of Allende in Chile, the Argentinian military takeover, Hugo Banzer in Bolivia. These militaries all work together, and they work together and addressing grassroots leaders, anyone who was in opposition to the governments. So like religious workers, student leaders, union organizers, opposition political parties. And we see the school's mission really was to silence these leaders who were working for the rights of the working people, the poor, anyone who was trying to address a change in the social structure. About, be more democratic.
Now, this school is, of course, going on as we speak right
Absolutely.
Now. Approximately how many people are in the school at any one time?
At any one time, I would say it's hard to get that exact number. We keep trying to unveil statistics.
Just guess.
Probably from 900 to 2,000 graduates a year. There are six-week courses, there's three-month courses. Right now, the largest number of military at the school come from Mexico. And as we all know, there's a lot of unrest in Chiapas. A number of the military generals there have graduated from this school. Colombia is another country, and in fact, Colombia has the highest number of graduates from this school over the years. And at this point has the poorest human rights record in all of Central and Latin America. So, I mean, the history goes on.
I'd like to remind our listeners they are listening to KVMR-FM, Nevada City. My name is Paul Emery. I am substituting for Mike Thornton today, who will be back next week. And we are talking with Ann Tiffany, a grandmother, and she's talking about why she served a six-month sentence in a federal prison because of her opposition to the School of the Americas. We're going to get to that in just a minute. And I'm going to talk about what happened to you and why you went to prison. But first, I'd like to talk a little bit about something else that's going to be happening on this event on October 16th. Retired Army Major Joseph Blair, mm-hmm. who taught 3 years at the School of the Americas, we're going to be seeing a video of his experiences. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about what this video will contain?
Okay, well, Major Joe Blair is a retired Army officer. He was involved in the Cold War. He was in Vietnam throughout that war, then went to the Guatemalan embassy and worked there. He helped to train the Contras in Honduras that were fighting the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. He believed in the mission of this school, which was to prevent communism from coming to the Western Hemisphere. However, having taught at the school for 3 years in the 80s, and then began hearing, he lives in Columbus, Georgia, and began hearing the words of Father Roy Bourgeois, who was writing about the graduates of this school and their histories of human rights abuses, and he became angry that the U.S. Army was not acknowledging what he knew to be true. You know, President Clinton, when he went to Guatemala this last year, apologized for the U.S. role in the military efforts to address the insurgency in that country where, you know, 200,000 Mayan Indians were killed. Joe Blair was well aware that this school was involved with training military involved in that effort. He was pleased that President Clinton apologized, and he feels that the U.S. Army should take responsibility for their complicity, for the U.S. advisors that have been down there and have closed their eyes to the human rights abuses. So he began to speak out about it. Joe feels very strongly that now that the Cold War is over, that this school should be closed. He sees it as a place where the military come to launder, for instance, drug money. They don't have to go through customs coming up here, and he has witnessed large amounts of money coming in to the Fort Benning banks. He thinks that most of the officers that come here, it's really a perk. We're not really teaching them. They come here knowing military tactics, but they are taken to Disney World, they're taken to Atlanta to go to baseball games. They're here ostensibly to see a democratic country in action. And he feels that this school should not be funded by our tax dollars. And speaks very strongly about it. And I think that this is quite difficult for him. He's living in this military town. He believes in the military. But he thinks that it is a real shame on the history of the U.S. military to be operating this school.
The funding for this school, is this directly from funding for the U.S. Army, or does it have a different funding source?
Well, it's pretty hard to get a handle on that. A couple of million dollars comes from what's known as IMET money, International Military Education and Training money, and that pays for scholarships and travel expenses, for instance. That source was almost cut off this summer by the House of Representatives by a 37-person vote in our favor. However, the Senate did not join in that vote, and that's been canceled at this point in the conference committee. Other sources comes from operation and maintenance funds in the Pentagon budget, military personnel appropriations, foreign military sales, international narcotics training. So it comes from a variety of places within the defense budget.
And who coordinates this funding for this school?
Well, I'm not sure of that. I can't answer who coordinates it. I think the total budget is between $18 and $20 million. Colonel Widener is the new commander there, and he feels that this school is essential. And very interestingly, the Secretary of the Army was on the Jim Lehrer news show 2 weeks ago when these IMET monies were being discussed. And he made the statement during that program that if, in fact, Congress closed the School of the Americas, that the Southern Command of the U.S. Army would open it the next day. It was so vital to their interests. I find that a very frightening statement from our Secretary of the Army, because for a school that supposedly teaches military how to operate under civilian rule, which is partly what one of their stated goals is under a democracy, that he would show what seemed to me contempt for what the civilian rule or Congress in this country would be saying. So I'm not sure the U.S. Army is the place to teach democracy, but I assume that the Secretary of the Army, through the Pentagon, coordinates the operations of the School of the Americas.
This is Full Logic Reverse. We'll be back in just a few moments.
And tell us about the situation where you served a 6-month sentence in a federal prison because of your opposition to the school.
Well, the School of the Americas Watch, which is the name of the organization founded by Father Roy Bourgeois, has two strategies. One is focused in Washington, D.C., where we lobby Congress, we vigil at the Capitol, we have petitions signed, there's a nationwide letter-writing campaign to Congress. It is our legislative arm, which is very important. But once a year, we go to Fort Benning, Georgia, where the School of the Americas is located. We go there in November. This year, it is the weekend before Thanksgiving, and it is in commemoration of the assassination of the Jesuits, their housekeeper and daughter, that occurred in 1989 on November 16th. Our presence in Georgia at Fort Benning is a vigil outside the gates of Fort Benning. And then on Sunday of that weekend, people enter the grounds of Fort Benning. We do so in a very respectful, reverent, liturgical manner. We carry white crosses with the names of people who have been killed by graduates of the school. The purpose is to bring the reality of the people who have suffered from the graduates of this school to the home of the School of the Americas. The first time I was arrested there, there were 60 of us, and we planted our crosses in cemetery style on the grounds. At that point, I was arrested for trespassing and issued a ban and bar letter, told not to come back to Fort Benning. The following year, 600 of us walked onto the base of Fort Benning. We carried hundreds and thousands of petitions, signatures of people who wanted this school closed, citizens of this country. We also carried crosses. And we were, we think, speaking the truth of people in Central America who are essentially voiceless. I was arrested again, along with the other 600, and 25 of us who had broken our ban and bar letters were arraigned, found guilty of a trespass, a misdemeanor, and given the maximum sentence, which was 6 months in prison and a $3,000 fine. It was very clear at that point that Fort Benning, the Army wanted this movement to stop, and this was their way of sending a very strong message. Unfortunately, it kind of backfired in that our voices in prison became even stronger. People were shocked that we were given those kinds of sentences. Most of us were retired professional people, and it just mushroomed the movement until last year, 2,300 people walked onto the base of Fort Benning. And we overwhelmed them. There was no question about it. And they simply ushered people off, bussed them off about 3 miles away from the military base. So I think that our going to prison, our speaking that strongly with our time and our commitment, really made the message even stronger. And it has spread to all 50 states. And we expect this year that over 5,000 people will walk onto the base of Fort Benning with the same message. The school must close.
How can our listeners get a hold of you or your organization?
Well, we have offices both in Washington, D.C. and in Fort Benning. Father Roy Bourgeois's office is in Fort Benning, and there's a telephone number. I think the best place, actually, is Washington, D.C. Father Bourgeois is on the road speaking all the time. There's a telephone number, area code 202-234-3440. We also have a website. It's very simple, www.soaw.org. And I think basic information can be found on the website in terms of the efforts we are making, people to contact in different geographical areas, etc.
Now, Ann, you're going to be coming to Nevada County in just a little bit over a week.
Right.
At the United Methodist Church. And this is part of a touring presentation that you're doing. It looks like in Boston in September?
Well, it's just been pretty amazing this year. We've been in Boston and Cleveland, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're leaving for North Carolina on Thursday. And then next Monday, come to California for a week. It's a group called Sing It Down, two young women who have written some beautiful, energizing, motivational songs about closing the School of the Americas. It's really a fun presentation and also a very serious one. We then show, as you mentioned, Major Joe Blair's video, and then I lead a discussion, hoping that people with questions about the school, questions about this movement, will come and discuss it with us. I know that there are people that feel strongly that this school should remain open, and I think it's good to have all of those views aired, listened to. We're very respectful of that position, but we're also concerned and would like to open the debate.
Is there any difference in the political stance of any of the major political candidates on this issue?
Well, part of our hope is to have all of them make a statement about the School of the Americas. That President Clinton, he supports most Pentagon initiatives, has been a supporter of the school. So my guess is that Al Gore would also be a supporter. Bill Bradley has not made a statement. So I'm not sure at this point. But that's one of our tactics. It's hopefully that we will confront the issue with the candidates and certainly encourage localities to confront it with the representatives that are running in their areas.
The what was the relationship of the School of the Americas to the Iran-Contra situation?
I can't really answer that other than to say that they were very involved in terms of training the Contra. The National Guard of Somoza in the 70s, most of them trained at the School of the Americas. And, of course, the Contra were made up, certainly their leaders and many of their fighters were made up of graduates from the school. And, for instance, Major Joe Blair was in Honduras training the Contra. So my guess is there was a very direct connection, but certainly in terms of training many of their leaders in the 70s, I think counterinsurgency efforts, which was one of the main focuses of the School of the Americas throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s. The National Guard, the Contras, the armies of Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, learned well their counterinsurgency war against the poor techniques. And that was the focus of the School of the Americas.
We have a
low-intensity conflict.
We have a caller.
Okay. Hi.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Hi. First, I want to thank you for what you're doing. You speak for many of us. And second, I want to find out if you really think that this kind of action can do anything about this, or are the powers that be too powerful, and can they do whatever they damn well please? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, I appreciate that question, and it is frequently asked of many of us. I think that for me, for instance, going to prison was a question I could not go. I cannot remain silent. Will it do any good? There are thousands of people throughout this country that for the first time are being made aware that the School of the Americas even exists. We know that it is just a small tip of the iceberg, to use a cliche, but it is for many a beginning of looking at the military-industrial complex, at looking at U.S. military domination. The U.S. Army School of the Americas was founded just for Latino, Central American, Mexican, Caribbean, Latin American military. However, there are over 150 military training schools in the United States or outside of the U.S., but with U.S. military personnel, that train foreign military. Our arms are out there everywhere. I think it has a lot to say with our arms sales. So there's all sorts of tentacles that the School of the Americas just represents U.S. military domination. I think it's a part of our huge arms industry, for instance. So that the efforts that we make, I think, help to open eyes. I was not surprised to hear that if this school were to be closed by Congress, that it would open somewhere else. I'm concerned about that kind of the military feeling they can ignore the sense of Congress or the vote by Congress. But it is opening eyes of people to how strong the military-industrial complex is. And for us here in the 90s in this country, I think it's essential that we understand that and become more active.
And we have another caller. Caller, you're live on the air.
Yes, it's great to hear about this. This event on October 16th sounds like it's going to be both a fun event, listening to the music by the two folk singers, and also a very educational one, and an opportunity for those of us locally who care about things like this and care about doing something about this to come together and meet one another and perhaps can have a continuing to continue on to try to do something about closing the School of the Americas, as well as, well, for example, from what I've been hearing about East Timor, it sounds like what they're doing, what they're teaching officers at the School of the Americas to do is just what we taught and probably still are, or at least have been teaching the Indonesian military to do, to do in the people of East Timor, among others. So, and do you know of anything about how the connection between the training of the military and how they work with the paramilitary groups, which groups are doing most of the damage that I have heard of in Chiapas, for example?
Mm-hmm. I don't know a great deal about it. I would certainly agree with you. The tentacles are out there everywhere. I know that we have been involved in East Timor training military there. I think the techniques are exactly the same. I think this issue right here on our soil has brought the message home more directly to citizens here, because it has for so long been in a shroud of secrecy and people don't know about it. Certainly there are direct connections between the military and the paramilitary. We saw that in El Salvador. We saw it in Nicaragua. We've certainly seen it in Chiapas. It's a very frightening picture, and my guess is that we can look and could come home to roost right here. So it's important that we now address it in terms of what is being trained at the School of the Americas and this is a place to stop it here.
Well, I certainly look forward to the get-together there on October 16th and meeting you and
well, thank you.
Hearing you and discussing this with you. Thank you very
Good.
Much.
Righto.
Thank you, caller.
This is Full Logic Reverse. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Anne, have you been to Nevada City before?
No.
Well, I think you'll... are you going to be in town for over a day, or what's your schedule going to be like?
Well, our schedule is pretty tight. We're in the Los Angeles area for 2 days, and then come up starting at San Rafael, and moving on right up through San Jose, Davis, Chico, and our last presentation actually is in Nevada City. We're really looking forward to it. We've been on the East Coast for a while, so it's nice to be invited out there.
We have another caller.
Hi. I totally am sympathetic and agree with your stance and your premise, but I'm concerned that, we have no connection with the para-right-wing military groups. We do have a connection with the official military from these countries, and this School of the Americas is probably our best connection directly with officers within those organizations, and that adjusting the what the school was teaching, keeping that communication open with those people and offering them expertise in military matters and perks, going to baseball games and whatever, schmoozing them or whatever you want to call it, but keeping that communication open with them, and then having mandatory classes about human rights and about historical successes of militaries that were supported by the population, that didn't try to keep their population down.
Mm-hmm.
The historic success of the United States having a not been overthrown by our own military, and working the other side of it. Now, maybe it's so corrupt and so bad that you'd have to start from scratch, but it is a real opportunity having some connection with those militaries in a training sense.
Well, I understand your position, and I think that... that is the position of Colonel Widener, who's the commandant of the School of the Americas now. However, the human rights course at the School of the Americas is pretty cursory, and essentially the military that come here do not attend the more extensive efforts to address that issue. The militaries in most Central and Latin American countries have traditionally been like a fourth arm of the government. They are not used to operating under civilian rule. And I don't think that essentially that is true today.
Sure.
That the civilian governments operate under at their pleasure, not the other way around. I unfortunately think that the School of the Americas continues that tradition in that it is focused on counterinsurgency training. And just a history of the graduates of this school that have been involved so directly with human rights abuses. In Peru, for instance, the officers, four of the officers involved in killing 7 Peruvian students and their teacher were graduates of the school. The history goes on and on.
It's kind of like training a bunch of pit bulls and then not taking responsibility for what they do.
Exactly. General Gramejo in Guatemala is not a graduate of the school, but he was the architect of the counterinsurgency, the genocide that occurred in Guatemala during the 80s, or the early 80s, and he was honored at the school. Hugo Bonza was honored as an honored graduate who from Bolivia. I mean, just the worst dictators in this hemisphere. And if only to say to the Central and Latin American people, this school will close because of its horrendous history. It cannot be reformed.
Yeah, it sounds like you definitely need to start over.
It's just a question
it's too
of
tainted.
Starting over. I would agree. And I am not unsympathetic to your position. I would like to think that we could offer the militaries below our border some training in democracy. But as Joe Blair says, you know, the U.S. Army is not the place to teach democracy. Send them to our universities. Send them to other institutions in this country.
Yeah, it's not so much teaching democracy as it is teaching how a military operates in a democracy.
In a democracy.
And there, the U.S. Army has a history of not, you know, making George Washington king.
Right.
And
well, I certainly would agree with you. However, recently I've become even discouraged about that. Just one example was that statement by the Secretary of the Army.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they're very powerful now, and I think it's important that citizens of this country be aware of it and be involved and ask questions.
You know, I'm going to interject here because we're just about out of time. And, caller, I'd like to thank you very much for your call. And
thanks.
It sounds like you're the type of person that would probably be a good contributor to this event that's happening on
I sure would appreciate
16th.
If people with questions would come and just make comments. I think we need to discuss the issue to get those concerns out.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you here in Nevada County in just a little bit over a week from Saturday. And thank you very much for joining us here. Just quickly again, how can people get a hold of your organization?
Well, they can get a hold of the organization by using our website. It's www.soaw.org. The School of the Americas Watch is the name of the organization. Washington, D.C., area code 202-234-3440.
Well, thank you very much, Ann, for joining us on Community Radio KVMR. And my name is Paul Emery. We are going to go out here with a little bit from this album, Sing It Down. And these are the couple of the musicians that are going to be part of this program on October 16th. But it starts out with a short segment, an excerpt from Archbishop Romero's sermon the day before he was assassinated by graduates of the School of the Americas. And this was in 1980. Thank you very much for listening this afternoon. My name is Paul Emery.
Yo quisiera hacer un llamamiento de manera especial a los hombres del ejército y en concreto a las bases de la Guardia Nacional, de la policía, de los cuarteles. Hermanos, son de nuestro mismo pueblo. Matan a sus mismos hermanos campesinos. Y ante una orden de matar que dé un hombre, debe de prevalecer la ley de Dios que dice no matar.
commands you're given by man, the law of God must stand, and thou shalt not kill. Above any order you're given by a soldier, the law of God says only to love. In the name of God, listen to the cries of the suffering.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. It's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you this edition of the program today. If you'd like more information about Full Logic Reverse, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by phone, 530-265-9462. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.